It's good to be with you this morning. Pleased to have the opportunity to visit with you about the National Biodiesel Board's efforts in Washington, D.C. As you saw in the video, we are fortunate to have very serious, effective professionals with highly specialized and technical skills working in the nation's capital on behalf of this great industry. It is truly an honor and a privilege to lead this team. We've been through a lot in the past few years, and I think we've learned that this industry, especially as of late, is not for the faint of heart. The lapse of the biodiesel tax credit last year strained our industry to the breaking point. For biodiesel producers, the ideological struggle and partisan back and forth that stymied progress in Congress was understandably hard to fathom. But for us, this wasn't about obscure budget rules or who was scoring political points in Washington. This was about real people. People who answered a noble calling to make us less dependent on foreign oil and leave the next generation of Americans a cleaner, more sustainable nation. Individuals who put their life savings, their kids' college fund, into their biodiesel plants. Good, hardworking people that the National Biodiesel Board is proud to represent in Washington. As Congress continued to twist itself into partisan knots, things looked grim. Some said we should even throw in the towel. But as the man whose name graces the NFL's championship trophy, the immortal Vince Lombardi, once said, winners never quit, and quitters never win. And at the end of the day, our shared perseverance paid dividends. The tax credit is back in place, and the RFS2 program begins in earnest this year. We have come through the dark night, and as we meet today, the framework is in place for America's biodiesel industry to do great things. That's right. And I can say with complete confidence that is exactly what I expect is going to happen. It's no accident that we've arrived at this point. Those who are successful over time, be they companies, trade associations, entrepreneurs, even sports franchises, they have one thing in common. Their long-term viability is the result of a larger vision that establishes a framework for future success, such is the case with the leadership of the U.S. biodiesel industry. Think back. In the 1990s, our leadership recognized that consumers must have confidence in the quality of our fuel. The National Biodiesel Board, as a result, implemented an aggressive effort to secure EPA health effects data, worked at ASTM to put in place a credible biodiesel fuel specification upon which the marketplace could depend, and constructively engaged engine manufacturers and automakers to approve the use of biodiesel. The results speak for themselves. Biodiesel today is the best tested, most reliable advanced biofuel in the commercial marketplace today. To make biodiesel price competitive in the marketplace, the NBB and its allies moved forward with a plan for a tax incentive that would help offset the inherent price advantage petroleum diesel enjoys in the marketplace. Result was the enactment of the biodiesel tax incentive in 2004. The big picture goal of the tax incentive was to encourage the expanded production and use of biodiesel. And by that measure, the tax credit has been an overwhelming success. When the credit was enacted in 2004, the U.S. industry produced a mere 25 million gallons of biodiesel. In the 5 years that the credit was seamlessly in place, we built the plant capacity to become America's first commercial-scale advanced biofuel and produced over 2 billion gallons of fuel. We should be proud of that. Even with the tax incentive in place, it was readily apparent that to get significant penetration in the U.S. diesel fuel marketplace, the Renewable Fuel Standard, an existing program that provided for a minimum renewable content in the nation's transportation fuel, had to be structured to accommodate biodiesel. Again, our industry's leaders took decisive steps to address the long-term interests of the U.S. biodiesel stakeholders. An internal task force carefully analyzed available feedstock and market dynamics, and based on this work, proposed the inclusion of a meaningful yet realistic biodiesel volume requirement as part of the Renewable Fuel Standard. As a direct result of the NBB's advocacy efforts, the 2007 Energy Bill expanded the Renewable Fuel Standard and for the first time provides for a renewable component in America's diesel fuel, a renewable demand schedule that was based on the work of our task force and that our industry is ideally situated to meet. We all pulled together to meet a great challenge during the RFS2 rulemaking process. The initial proposed rule was largely unworkable. It would have disqualified domestic vegetable oils from qualifying as biomass-based diesel, not to mention impose unrealistic regulatory requirements in the market. The NBB marshaled technical resources to demonstrate shortcomings in the EPA's life cycle analysis, legal assets to justify a program structure that was optimal for our industry, lobbying efforts to keep elected officials engaged, and perhaps most importantly, grassroots initiatives that yielded thousands of favorable comments to the EPA. You'll get a chance to meet some of the folks that pulled off this amazing feat a little bit later, and they are certainly worthy of our thanks. The result of all this was a final rule that works for America's biodiesel industry and fulfills the vision of an RFS2 program that displaces petroleum diesel fuel with biodiesel. The 800 million gallon 2011 biomass-based diesel volume obligation published by the EPA in November, not to mention the unanimous decision by the DC Circuit to reject litigation lodged by the petroleum industry to stymie RFS2 implementation, reinforces the reality of this important, worthwhile program. To borrow an adage from the legendary Mark Twain, I'm pleased to state to you today that reports of the U.S. biodiesel industry's demise have been greatly exaggerated. <laughs> 2010 was without question a tough year, but we have weathered the storm, and the policy framework is in place for a robust 2011. But I can tell you, this is not the time for complacency. As Chairman Hare highlighted earlier this morning, now more than ever, it is imperative that we stick together as an industry. In the last election, the American people sent an unambiguous signal to Washington that they want their leaders to get the nation's fiscal house in order. Those who got elected are listening. Both Republicans and Democrats recognize that we cannot continue to post $1.5 trillion annual deficits and bury our children in mountains of debt. Make no question about it, this is going to be the issue going forward. But don't take my word for it. Here's what some key players in Washington are saying.
Hard work and tough decisions will be required of the 112th Congress. No longer can we fall short. No longer can we kick the can down the road. The people voted to end business as usual, and today we begin to carry out their instructions.
I don't see why we would be talking about raising the debt ceiling. Why have a debt ceiling in the first place if all you're going to do is keep raising it when you get to it?
Right.
We should be looking at cutting spending.
This problem is so big when you're borrowing 40 cents of every dollar you spend. You can't just be tinkering around the edges.
$14 trillion in debt. It's so bad, everything has to be on the table. We've got to make major cuts if we want to put this country on the right path.
Each year, we lose $1.1 trillion from our Treasury for tax credits, exclusions, and earmarks. Money that doesn't go into the Treasury because of the tax code.
If we're going to do this, which obviously you can't default, we need to have some real fiscal fixes in order to do that.
There's not going to be any question at the end of the speech tonight that the president is serious and committed to addressing the fiscal challenge facing the country.
This is where we started in 1913. This is the entire tax code of the United States of America and all the regulations. This pamphlet. This is where we are today. This is the tax code and all of the regulations that Americans have to deal with today.
Over the years, a parade of lobbyists has rigged the tax code to benefit particular companies and industries. So tonight I'm asking Democrats and Republicans to simplify the system, get rid of the loopholes, level the playing field, and use the savings to lower the corporate tax rate for the first time in 25 years without adding to our deficit. It can be done.
Serious stuff. I don't think it's a secret to anyone in this room that biofuels have been under attack. Now, on top of that, it's abundantly clear that elected officials are going to be scouring every nook and cranny in the federal budget to find savings. This will go beyond just spending programs. I fully expect Congress to take a close look at tax preferences, such as the biodiesel tax incentive, as part of an effort to reduce the federal deficit and get the nation's books back in balance. That's why we must remain vigilant, and that's why our industry must continue to put forward a united front. We have a great story to tell. We're creating jobs and economic opportunity. making us less reliant on foreign oil, improving the environment. But in this political climate, you can't take anything for granted. Nothing going forward is going to come easy. But then again, most things in life worth doing don't come easy. The biodiesel industry has a unique fact pattern. We are the only domestic producers of advanced biofuel that have reached nationwide commercial scale. We are impacted by unique market dynamics and international trade flows. We are a nascent industry compared to other dominant players in the fuel sector. That said, there remains a compelling public policy rationale for increasing the domestic production and use of biodiesel. And the best thing for both our country and the industry would be a long-term extension of the biodiesel tax credit that is restructured as a production excise tax credit. This will focus the credit's benefit on the domestic industry and help the entrepreneurs that are the very heart and soul of this industry make long-term business decisions that will yield future growth and prosperity. It won't be easy, but this is what the NBB will be pursuing in Washington in the coming year. We'll also be working to protect the integrity of the RFS2 program. In 2011, the U.S. biodiesel industry has both the production capacity and the available feedstock to meet and exceed the 800 million gallon RFS2 biomass-based diesel requirement. Beyond 2012, the RFS2 program gives the EPA administrator the ability to responsibly grow the biomass-based diesel program beyond the 1 billion gallon requirement provided by law. Our past chairman, Ed Hagelin, had the vision to recognize the opportunity this affords us, and already an NBB task force is analyzing the data that will be crucial to demonstrating our ability to produce increasing amounts of advanced biofuels going forward into the future. As we have in the past, NBB will bring a host of assets to bear to make the RFS2 program work in a way that is optimal for the U.S. biodiesel industry. By any objective measure, our industry has come a long way. Through good times and bad, the long-term perseverance and vision of this industry's leadership has benefited not only biodiesel stakeholders, but this nation as a whole. As a result, we are poised to accomplish great things in 2011 and beyond. After all, we are America's advanced biofuel, and without question, our best days lie ahead. Thank you, and God bless.